You're a prophet cast.
We're better than you, and we know it.
No, that's not true. You're better than us, and we know that. Episode 113. Okay, yeah. So on this episode of ProfitCast, you are better than us, by the way. Let's discuss how profit and success are really defined when it comes to a podcast. We've seen some incredible case studies of how podcasts have created massive profit and success with our clients. We'll share that. Let's rock it! Woo!
This is ProfitCast.
You know, I really can't dance, and so it's a bad idea for me to dance, but this music just makes me so excited.
It's really up. I love it. I have the biggest smile on my face every time. I'm just like fascinated by how it all works. It's great.
This is all live, by the way. I don't put any of this in post. You don't do that either. This is just me doing the live thing from my old radio days. It's fun. And honestly, you get that energy when you're cranking the music like this, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like cranking it up. It's just more fun because anyway, welcome to ProfCast. I'm the real Brian.
And I'm K-Dubs. We've decided on a nickname, y'all. What's up?
Yeah. Oh, I love this. So you are wearing, for those of you listening, you're wearing your Quell's company shirts, but it's K-Wells, K-Dubs. Yeah. There it is. Why don't you just call it K-Dubs Companies? Yo, what's up? That sounds so white.
If you want a little like background, the reason why it's Quell's Companies, I've had a lot of people ask, like, why didn't you do Quell's podcast productions or something like that? And
I like companies better.
It's companies because in the future, I intend to have a hybrid publishing company to help authors publish books and get them marketed. And then additionally, I plan to start investing in real estate, and I wanted to have it all under one umbrella. And so I'll have a real estate investing arm as well.
You're going to be the one that purchases the White House and then rents it out to future presidents, right?
Oh my gosh, how cool would that
be? I like this idea. Yeah. See, and I like you think, by the way, thinking ahead, this is clear, wonderful things right here, because a lot of people get stuck with productions or they say podcast in their name. I go by Real Brian Media, and I know media is kind of still limited, but I don't plan to go beyond that at all. And with media, I can do a lot. So I like the fact that it's a little bit more broad and it sounds bigger and cooler anyway, just FYI. Yeah,
I just wanted to be able to have it all under one thing. Like at some point, if I made the Quell's Companies into a corporation, incorporated or something like that, that's fine. I still have it. It's still there. Quell'sCompanies.com. What's up? But see, if my version of success as we get into this would be if I get all these different arms going and working and doing the things. Because then I've had people who are like, well, if you do all of that, are you going to stop podcast? No, I'm not going to stop doing podcast stuff because I friggin' love it. All right. It's just a part of what I love to do.
Ah, the passion. Mm-hmm. The passion. So much. I love that. You know, I heard, I think probably the best definition of success that I have ever heard in my entire life, because I think a lot of times the definition of success is one of those elusive things for most people. And then they define it and it's kind of this dumb, or it limits you. Definition of success I saw, this is great more for a personal side of things. You know, you might be able to apply this to a company, but it was to be able to have the freedom to say yes to what I want to say yes to and no to what I want to say no to. And that was it. Now that involves financial freedom, that involves time freedom, that involves freedom in general. You know, there's all kinds of things in there, but I really liked that. I feel like that's kind of a good life mission. And then you can narrow it down from there, because let's talk about some bad definitions of success and all that for podcasts.
Oh my gosh, there are so many of them.
We got to start there.
Bad definition of success is that my podcast generates a bajillion downloads, but nothing else. Looking at just having downloads is not the true metric.
That's most people's.
I would say it's almost all people, to include people who are looking at sponsorships and things like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but your downloads don't actually mean a whole heck of a lot, because first of all, they aren't tracked the same way across all platforms. There's not a set standard for downloads versus listens and things like that. I mean, there is, you've got IAB, but at the same time, like, the downloads are coming in and collating from so many different places. It's like, And even in your podcast host, there's a little switch you can flip oftentimes, and you've got one set of downloads and you got another set of downloads, both of which are completely different. Which one's the right one?
I don't even know.
Exactly. So then you're like, okay, because what constitutes a download? Like an actual download to your phone or a period of time that's been listened to?
Isn't it just like if somebody plays it for like 5 seconds or less, that's a download? Yeah.
Yes.
Whoopity-doo, right? This is something that sponsors do not understand, by the way, too. And this is something that I want to get into later, but in radio, so this is fun because I was in radio for a while. Now, granted, I don't know all the ins and outs of this because I was not in the sales, but I learned enough to know that when they say, oh, a radio has a 30,000 person reach or cum is what they used to say, that means that there are 30,000 people in a geographic location that the tower can reach that fit our demographic that may possibly listen to this radio station, period. Mm-hmm. So 30,000, you might actually only have 3,000 people actually listening. But then when that ad plays, there might only be 30 people listening. You have no idea, right? So it's a complete crapshoot, but all they see is $30,000 and they pay based on 30,000 potential listeners. And so this is the problem with podcasting too, is that all of these podcasters are out there bragging about how many listeners they have. And by the way, this is one of the most, I hate this with a passion. I just want you to know, like, if you want to know a pet peeve, this has got to be up in my top three. Hi, I'm Brian. Hi, I'm so-and-so. So what do? I have a podcast. How many listeners do you have? That's the first question everybody asks. That's like asking you, how much do you weigh or how much money do you make?
And it's almost an impossible question to answer. Honestly, like, yes, you can see and you can track your 7 day, your 30 day, your 90 day downloads, and you can see growth and things like that. You can't say that all of those 7 day downloads every single time are people who are actually listening to you, because those 7 day downloads are made up of people who are like subscribed and auto downloading your stuff. Do you know how many podcasts I'm subscribed to that I don't get to listen to, like, ever? Mm-hmm. I might listen to one episode a month, but they're getting their downloads from me. And I don't listen to them because I don't have time. So I'm like, is this a real metric? Sure, it's a metric to see how things are growing. You can see how many subscribers you have, but you can't guarantee that all of those people are listening.
It's petty, but it really is literally like a measurement here where let's just sit here and compare. And it is ridiculous. Like, I literally see bros getting up there. Yeah, man, I got like X amount of podcast downloads. Yeah, man, me too. You know, bro. And the other one's feeling really bad. And I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, really, we don't need to be looking at it like this. And like you said, let's just say, well, I got 100,000 listens, you know, on this last episode. But like we said, 50,000 of them could have been 5 seconds or less, which means you didn't have 100,000. And by the way, most of them might have come and said, you know what? I don't like this show. I'm going to move on. Part of it is going to be their growth and consistency, and then there's going to be the actual interaction. There's so much, and especially with sponsors. Are they actually clicking through and buying your product? Right. Who cares how many actual downloads they have? It's about the quality of the listener to get you more sales, or else why invest all that money? Which is another reason I don't like CPM, which is another conversation for another episode. I think CPM is you need to be basing your sponsorships on quality.
In alignment.
Exactly. And then the other thing, and this just frustrates me too, it's just like, oh my gosh, there's so much around this, which is why I like to talk about what is the true definition of success here, because we have to define this. But so many times people are, they're looking at numbers, and I should just stop there. I might rant too much, but there's too many things there that I think are, they're fallacies, they're wrong. And with sponsorships and with people in general, we need to be looking at, again, the growth. We need to look at patterns. And honestly, I'm to the point where I don't even really want to know how many listeners I have all the time.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say, let's measure those at specific times and move forward, but let's focus. And this is the focusing on those who are not currently listening to your podcast. Yeah. See, this is a big problem with churches. Churches love to focus on those who are not already in the church. And then they forget the people that are sitting right in front of
them. We're here. What about us, guys? We're sitting here.
Do you take care of your listeners that are already there?
Right.
I mean, these are big deals. All right, so.
That goes back to alignment with sponsorships, because are you taking care of them, or are you just trying to add stuff your shows, praying that somebody, I mean, don't do it. Anyways, that's a whole other, like, really, honestly, the sponsorship ad thing, that's a whole other conversation. But we start there with the success piece. And really, honestly, the profit piece too, because that's where a lot of people start. There's so many people these days that are like, I'm going to start a podcast to make $1 million this year.
Yeah.
You are? Cool. How many people do you already have in your audience? Zero? Oh, yes. You'll totally make it to 1 million downloads this year. It's going to happen.
You can pay for listens.
Yes, but how does that happen? I mean, not happen. How does that like help you? It doesn't help you. It helps you with that one episode, which could potentially get you on into charts. But the only people looking at podcast charts are other podcasters. It doesn't help you get new listeners. Yeah. Like, the charts don't really matter. And they exist for a second. You're like at the top of the chart for like the charts change every like 4 to 6 hours or something like that. Like, they're updated. It's not even a daily update. It's like hourly updates. So you could be up there for like a few hours and then back down. I'm sorry, but if you're basing your success off of hitting a chart, then you've kind of gotten away from like the whole purpose of podcasting in general.
And I start to wonder, like, how many people really are lying about their stats? Because the reality is that unless you're a nonprofit, you can't request somebody's records. I mean, really, I guess there's some way that it could happen, but the reality is most of us aren't asking. I mean, okay, yeah, this podcast had 1 million downloads last month. Did it though? I mean, really, did it? We don't know. Obviously, it's just, so again, why are we even saying that? You know, like, let's just stop bragging and stop doing that, because it's just like you said, the paying for, I knew guys that did that, by the way. In fact, one guy even offered to pay for, he called it, we're going to get you on lists. We'll pay for this so that people will know about your podcast to listen to it, and then it'll rank you. And I said, oh, that sounds really cool. And so he did it as a gift, and it was like about, I think it was a 2 week period, and my podcast numbers just shot through the roof. This is the Real Brian Show. And then like that third week, they went right back to where they were. And I was like, wait, what? So I asked him, I'm like, tell me more. And he said, well, it's a marketing list that I'm paying, and these are real people, but none of them actually care about your podcast. These are literally people that are paid to just turn on your episode and turn off the volume and just listen all the way through. And that's it. I'm like,
which, who wants that for their show?
It's legal, but it doesn't do anything. Yeah. But he literally, I mean, that's what they, and that's how people get their million. Well,
some people,
that's how some people get their big listens. I know others get their big listens actually genuinely, and they do it organically. And those are the ones that we need to be looking at, not all these other ones. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I don't know who's telling the truth or not. So the reality is, here's an example of a client I worked with a long time ago. They came to me and they said they had all of these, I don't even know, it was like 80,000 people or something like that on their email list. And I thought, okay, well, I hope that's true. And then they said, well, we want to have 30,000 listeners in the first 3 months. And I said, well, okay. I said, are all 80,000 of these people coming over to the podcast? And in my mind, I'm thinking like, well, of course they're not, you know, but you can invite them. But how many active of these 80,000 are there? You know, that's the other question. Anyway, they didn't get that. They didn't come anywhere close to that. They only had like 500 listens per episode. And in 3 months, that's not bad, by the way, for a podcast. Yeah. And here's the thing. They didn't do any marketing. They blasted it out once. And I think they might have said one other thing, but then they're like, oh, we're going to get all these like these top-notch, you know, guests on who are going to be out totally sharing our episode. And I'm like, yeah, they don't really do that. Unless the guest is aligned with you and so excited for you as in your company, they're not going to share. They're looking for their own, you know, beefing up their stats so that they can move on to the next thing and keep doing that. I'm sorry, but that's just the way guests work. It's been that way.
And especially, you know, you have somebody who wrote a book, for instance. This is the one I like to use all the time whenever people are like, they're going to share everything. Okay, so they wrote a book. And now they are on your podcast and they're on their podcast and that podcast and the podcast over there, all sharing about their same topic, which is their book. So are you thinking that they're going to be sharing every single podcast that they have been on to their audience who already knows about the book? No, they're not going to do that. That is not the purpose of their podcast book tour. Their podcast book tour is to get in front of your audience.
No, I agree in all. And by the way, I have interviewed so many guests in all of the years I've done podcasting. I've lost count. I mean, well, probably well over 1,000 people now, at least. I mean, maybe more than that. I can't have an answer.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot.
Regardless, there's been literally like probably less than 10 of over 1,000 people that have ever shared anything I've done, because they simply don't care and they don't want to. They're in it for mm-hmm. themselves. And I'm not trying to put, you know, anyone down, and I'm not trying to discourage anybody here. I'm just looking at it. This is just reality. Yeah. It is. In fact, I've even had guests that say, it's a policy that I don't share the podcasts that I guest on my personal social or on my social media with anybody. And I'm like, well, then what am I getting out of this? Well, you're getting me. I'm like, you're not that good. I mean, I didn't say this, of course, but I'm thinking like they're just in it for themselves, you know? And I'm like, so that's another thing too. That's like, you know, educational, that we should talk about guests at some point on an episode, because
there are definitely ways to empower your guests to share. And there are things and tips and tools and stuff you can use to make it easier for them to do so. But yeah. when it comes down to it, like having an expectation that they're going to share is the wrong way yeah. to go into guest podcast episodes and things.
You can ask them mm-hmm. and maybe they'll be generous and say, you could say like, you know, if you're going to be on my show, the only thing I ask is that you just share it. Yeah. That's it. Just share the episode. If you like it, by the way, if you mm-hmm. don't like the episode, you don't have to say anything, but if you like it, if you like the interview, would you consider sharing it? And honestly, you'll probably get a better response for that, but they probably still won't do it. You can still try, but so anyway, the reason I wanted to say those things is because there are so many misconceptions when it comes to success. And so this client got 6 months into the show and quit because they didn't get the 30,000 in 3 months that they wanted, which I told them probably 10 times that is not going to happen. And this was years ago. This was when it was easier to get that kind of listenership. And I kept saying, what are you doing for marketing? What are you doing for marketing? They weren't doing anything. And I'm like, you're not going to get anything. It's just not going to happen. And so first of all, you can't expect results from something you're not willing to do in the first place. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. If you're not going to market it, then you're not going to get results. But there are so many things here that I think are really valuable when it comes to success. And so I want to give some examples of really cool definitions of profit and success and how I have seen podcasts actually succeed and really thrive and seen companies really win from this kind of thing because they did it right.
Yeah.
Would you like to go first?
Sure. I actually have, so it's funny because this client is kind of the definition of not properly marketing their show, but keeping going, like understanding that they were going to just keep going. And then once they did, they saw like massive growth, both for their podcast and for their business. But one of my very first clients, we started her podcast like right before, right after COVID happened, like right during that time. So we got started, we were doing weekly episodes and she backed it down. We did bi-weekly episodes and then we went back to weekly episodes. And all during this time, for the first year that we were doing episodes for her, she didn't, even though we provided marketing materials for her, she wasn't actually marketing the show. She might occasionally one-off be like, hey, I have an episode. She might like once a month put something in her email newsletter, but she wasn't like really actively emailing. And then all of a sudden, we got out of the crazy of the COVID time and like just trying to churn and churn and churn. But she was like, I've got the podcast. This is my main marketing tool. Even if she wasn't marketing the podcast, she was using the episodes to at least create content. She just wasn't ever pointing back to the podcast. Then she started using the podcast stuff to actually like promote the podcast itself. And in the first month that she started marketing the podcast, her podcast numbers, her listeners, like the number, I mean, we have steady numbers, right? We can see, this is where numbers do matter, is you can see how her downloads were going. And then she started marketing the podcast and all of a sudden, literally the downloads doubled and stayed there. Mm. Like it was, they doubled and they stayed. This is like, these are plateaus and platforms. They're stair steps that we're reaching. And so they doubled. And that same month, she had her highest month in revenue in her business. Wow. And then kept going along. She like made a process to actually market the podcast. And then just ran, I don't even know what happened. I think we started incorporating, or she started talking about it in her reels, because she was doing reels for her business, but she wasn't doing it for the podcast. She like randomly started putting out podcast related reels. And then all of a sudden her podcast numbers doubled again. Cause we are now, we'd been at this level, this new level. Then her podcast numbers doubled again. She had her next highest month in revenue in her business. And the revenue had stayed steady like across, right? So the podcast literally like directly correlated with the growth in her business. Now, her podcast, she was talking to her ideal client. Literally, she was bringing on her ideal client to talk about the industry. as well as, you know, what it would mean to use her services within that. So she brought on clients. She brought on other – she was speaking to photographers in particular at that time. And so she was bringing on photographers to talk about the industry and talk about how they built their businesses. And then the listeners were other photographers trying to build a business. And her whole business is online business management and marketing for photographers.
Mm, that's cool.
Perfectly aligned. The way it was all structured and everything, perfectly aligned. And as she started marketing her podcast, it got better. And her whole goal, her whole, this is where expectations matter. Her expectation was not to have a bajillion listeners. That was not her goal. Her goal was to be able to reach out to her ideal clients and have a platform for her clients to be able to share how they've built their businesses and things like that. And then create in one fell swoop her marketing materials because she was running out of time to market her business. So she was using her podcast as a marketing vehicle.
That's so cool.
And those were the expectations set. It wasn't, yeah. I need to reach 5 million people. She doesn't want to reach mm-hmm. 5 million photographers. She doesn't have room on her client list for the percentage that 5 million listeners would bring to her. So she was like, that's not my goal. I mean, if even 1,000 people listen and 1% of that 1,000 people comes in, that's almost too many clients to bring in all at one time. And 1% is an extremely like conservative number of people that would potentially become clients. So it's like, that's where the expectations being set. Same thing with marketing in general and same thing with all business numbers. But what do you need to bring in? That's where you start. What do you need to bring in? That's where you start mm-hmm. on pricing all your stuff and things like that. And that's what she did. She was like, I need to have a way to market my business. And this is the way I'm going to do it. She stuck with it. And look at that. Business grew. Mm,
love it. You know, I've got so many examples. I'm only going to share three, which is going to be hard to get these down. But, you know, part of what I want to do too with the show is continue to show more examples mm-hmm. and even invite some of those people onto the show to talk about how their podcast has impacted them too. Yes. And how they've done it, because that would be cool to hear firsthand from them. My three. So first of all, the things that these examples I'm about to share, they wanted to create like a voice for their company. They wanted to humanize it and not just say, here's writing or here's whatever. It's this big, you know, behemoth or whatever. They wanted to give their customers and their clients a voice as well, so that they could be heard. And of course, as we always say, they wanted to build trust, authority, and loyalty. Those were the things that these people wanted to do. It was not about the money. Mm-hmm. It was not, well, I mean, yes, they wanted to increase their revenue for their business, but it was not about making any money from their podcast.
Directly.
And it was not about, yeah, exactly. And it wasn't even about necessarily how many listeners they had. In fact, two of these three clients that I'm about to share here didn't even care about the numbers. They're like, honestly, I don't even want to look at it. We don't care. It doesn't matter. We will see the results. And they did, by the way, mm-hmm. because they went out. So one example, this person did care about numbers, but she was in art. She did a bunch of art stuff, you know, and she was wanting to basically start teaching and coaching and selling some courses and stuff like that. So she wanted to put a voice to her business. And so she went out there and she said, I'm just going to share my tips and things that I've learned. And here's how I have succeeded by creating and selling art. That was the entire first part of the podcast. Well, people, of course, jump in and start going, oh my gosh, I gotta learn. This is incredible. So her listener numbers went up because she was just showing, all she was doing was sharing her own experiences. Then she started bringing people on. And I loved this. She said, this podcast allows me to get free coaching.
Do you know how many people have that say the same thing?
Yeah. Because they wouldn't be willing to talk to her otherwise, but they were willing to come onto her podcast and she could ask whatever questions she wanted, which also came from her clients and listeners and customers as well. And so then she got a chance to ask those questions and everybody learned together, which was also valuable. Her numbers grew and her business almost tripled in revenue within that first year of just doing the podcast. Her podcast didn't bring anything in directly, but her business grew as a result. So that was a huge one.
Yes.
And I'm trying to keep these short. There's more details, but that's for her to share. Maybe she'll be on the show.
Yeah. Anyway,
but then another company that I worked with, and I loved this, they were a huge company. And we're talking multi hundreds of millions of dollars kind of company. And again, they didn't care about whether they didn't care about listenership. They didn't care about numbers. The only thing that they wanted to do was to provide a platform for their partners. Now, these guys were in tech, open source, all kinds of, you know, even like Homeland Security level kind of stuff like that, you know, they would bring their partners. And these were other businesses that they just all worked together on certain things for different projects. They wanted to give their partners a voice and a chance to be heard And that was it. That was the only intention of their podcast. And you know what was amazing? These partners, because I was hosting this show for them, by the way, they would come on and they would just say, we love this company. Mm-hmm. They give us a chance to be heard where no one else ever has. And they were loyal to the end kind of thing. Now, the irony was that this company got bought out by a behemoth and killed all of that. And unfortunately, a lot of those partners now do not have that same thing. They don't share that same loyalty anymore. So that's a lesson too, is that, you know, a podcast can bring a loyalty that you could never get otherwise, and don't kill it. And then the third example I was going to share really quickly was in physical therapy. And basically what it was a chance to just kind of step up and say, hey, we've been doing this for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, depending on who was on the show with them. And so we just want to share what we've learned. And basically all they were trying to do was establish authority. Mm-hmm. Once again, didn't care about listenership, didn't care about downloads, didn't care about money or anything. It was just establishing authority so that people would go. And honestly too, it was somewhat altruistic. They weren't even trying to get more business because they all had their own separate physical therapy offices in different states and cities. And so it wasn't about driving business to that at all. It was about helping new physical therapists to do it correctly. It was all altruistic.
Oh, I love that.
And it was phenomenal.
There's so many of those, then it's so great. Like that's a great way to build authority and like visibility within your industry too.
So there you go. This is where I'm saying is that you need to define profit and success with your podcast in different ways. Now, somebody like me, let me just put this into the mix. I am passionate about getting behind the mic. So I would want to be, yes, that 1% that actually makes money with a podcast because this is my passion and my drive. But it's 1% or less than that even that really truly monetize their podcast directly. And so chances are that's not going to happen for me. And so I'm looking at that. Yeah, it's still kind of a fun little dream that I can have. But I also need to realize that that may not be the best thing in the world. And so I can't define success with that. And if there's one thing that even I've learned in podcasting is the amount of lives that have been impacted, the amount of people that have been helped, the amount of companies that I've helped, you know, through this, mm-hmm. The amount of businesses that they may not even know it, but I've helped them grow. And whether they know it or not, like there are times where it's like, obviously it was very much, I was directly helping them and they know it. And mm-hmm. other times I was helping them and they didn't know it. And then like their business took off because they took a piece of advice, you know, it's just yes. All these little things, you know, that you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, there's been a lot of profit and success through all of these things. And so it's really looking at things in a way that does not involve direct monetization and direct numbers. Like you can use those as metrics, but please stop making that your number one and number two goals with your podcast, because that will lead to frustration and probably failure for most people.
Yeah.
And most businesses.
And quite honestly, if you cannot explain to your potential sponsors and people putting ads onto your show how they are aligned with your ideal audience in such a way that they want to work with you no matter the number of listeners and downloads, then you really need to go back to your messaging anyway. Because when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter if you have one person listening to you or 500,000 people listening to you, they're listening to you for a reason. Yeah. And they're not there to be sold to by other people. And we're going to get onto it in a different episode. But really, when it comes down to it, this direct monetization idea and the idea of ads in your show, you will likely lose listeners the more ads you're putting in that are not directly aligned with what they're coming to you for. And so all of these dynamic ad insertions and things like that you can get into ad groups or whatever through your hosting sites, this is not the way, people. We'll get into it deeper. If everything that I just said is like complete gibberish to you, you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's perfectly fine. We're going to get into it a little bit deeper in a different episode. But I just just know that if Buzzsprout comes to you and says, do you want to join our sponsorship program? Really look into it and whether or not it's the right fit for the type of show you're creating. Because
agreed.
For most people, in my opinion, it's not necessarily the right fit.
Well, and especially for a business too, who is, I mean, really a podcast is an extension of your marketing. It just really is. It's an extension of your business. It's just another way to humanize what you do. And I keep saying humanize because companies are so, they're just entities. And it doesn't matter. Most marketing is very lifeless and it just doesn't have any kind of, like you said, it doesn't connect and all that. Podcasts connect. They humanize things. They make you feel like a real human being running something and doing something. And so, you know, I got to keep saying that because that's been the best success that I've seen from companies is when they use it as an extension and not a be all end all. And it ends up humanizing them, giving that voice, giving their customers, giving their clients, partners, all of that a voice and a chance too. That's where things really start to happen, yes, is what I see. And again, going along with the advertisements is that if it's in alignment, if it's something that you actually truly use and believe in, mm-hmm, then by all means, go for it. But if it's just, you know, like I've had advertisers come to me and I'm like, I'm never going to use that. I can't do that. So anyway, but next week, we're going to be talking about the importance of consistency. Be consistent or fail.
Correct.
That's my theory. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it because quite honestly, between core values, setting yourself up for success, and really defining your expectations around profit and success, consistency is where it's all going to fall down for you if you don't do it.
It is so true. Oh my gosh. Can't wait.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Seriously, thank you. Rockmypodcast.com. You can go there. You can check it out. Again, this is a conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions you have? What do you need? What do you need from us? We'll connect back with you, so don't worry about that. But go on over there. All of our contact information is there. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Kayla. We're signing off.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining us on ProfitCast and letting us be a part of your podcasting journey.
Adrian!